Because Memorial Day is remembering the names, is remembering the people who gave their lives in order that we might have the freedom that we have here in this country. And it's about leaving a legacy is basically what it's about. It's about using your life in such a way that will be remembered. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and Hebrews chapter 12, it's talking about the great cloud of witnesses, all the people who are watching. And here was a big question I was going to ask is, what type of legacy, what type of name are you going to be leaving? What type of name will you be remembering? And I worked on it, I worked on it. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I literally walked out of the building, got in my truck, and started down the road, and there's a song that came on the radio. It was from Casting Crowns. It was Only Jesus. You guys know what song I'm talking about? I love this song. And it says, I don't want to leave a legacy. Don't want anyone to remember me. Only Jesus. Because that's the only name that really matters. And I felt cut to the heart because there's so much truth in that song. What is it that we're doing? Are we leaving a legacy for ourselves? Are we building up an empire for our own lives and for our own name, our own family? Or is everything that we're doing pointing to the one name that really matters? You see, there's only one, and his name is Jesus. So I just scrapped the whole idea. I was like, I'm going to go back to my original series that I was in, which is in Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus says very plainly, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And it's the idea of hearing Jesus' words and then putting them into practice. It doesn't do any good just to listen to these things that Jesus says. You have to put them into practice. And so I'm working backwards through the Sermon on the Mount. I'm working backwards and I'm looking at the words of Jesus, and we're not just listening to the words. We're wanting to put them into practice. Got it? So, we're going to be looking at two very short verses today. And literally, when I left the church and heard the song, I had to go to the store because my son Titus asked if I could get some bacon. And you never refuse anyone when they say pick up bacon. You always say, yes, I will get bacon. You know what I'm saying? You don't ever say, no, I don't think we really need any bacon in the house today. Or anything. That never happens. When someone says we need bacon, you go get bacon. So I go to get bacon. Now, there's a running joke in our family. I apologize right now, all right? Okay. So there's a running joke in our family that when we go to the store, like if Kathy's in the car and I'm in the car and maybe the kids are in the car and we have to stop and get something, we'll go to the store, and I only need to get one or two things. That's all I need. I just need to get one or two things. I'll be right back. And so that's what Kathy always says. I'll be right back. I only need to get one or two things. And so does anyone else have this problem? So I sit out in the vehicle, and I'm thinking, I have this expectation that I'm only getting one or two things, and so it should literally take just a few minutes in order to go in and get those one or two things and come back out, right? So I've started, after 35 years, I figured out this is a great nap time when we go in to get one or two things because it's never just a few minutes. Yes? Amen? Amen. Can we agree on this? Yeah. So they go in and you wait and you wait and you wait. And finally they come back out. And I'm always wondering, and it's never one or two things. It's like a whole shopping bag. And then you've got to unload the shopping bags and all that. You know what I'm saying? It's never just one or two things. So I had the task of going in and getting bacon. And so I go into the store, and all I'm going to do is get bacon. That's all I'm going to do. So I go in to get the bacon, and I'm all by myself. I go in, and I get to the bacon part of the store. I now figured out why it takes so long to get one or two things. There's like 40 different kinds of bacon now. Did you realize that? Like 40 different kinds. I'm not just talking about different brands. I'm talking about different flavors of maple and hickory and I don't know what all it is and all these different brands. And then you don't just have the brands and the flavors. And then you got the thicknesses of the really thick and the sort of thick and the really thin and the fatty and the non-fatty. And there's this all kind. Then you got turkey bacon. That's not bacon. No, that's not. I totally agree there. I don't even look at that stuff. All right. But there's all, and literally, I found myself standing there. I'm not joking. I bet you I stood there for 10 minutes trying to figure out what bacon I should get. And I literally came out of the store with just bacon. And I was in there for like 10 minutes. There are so many choices. And then you start thinking about it as I'm walking out of the store with my one package of bacon. I'm thinking, we need cereal. And I look at the cereal aisle, I was like, no way am I going down that aisle. Because it's just a whole aisle of cereal. There's so many choices. You think about it, you need shampoo? Right now, if you need shampoo, you just come to my house because my daughter came back from college and we have like as many choices of shampoo that you would ever want. Dean, do you have this problem? It's crazy. As a matter of fact, I can't even hardly get into my shower anymore because of all the shampoo that's lined up on the tub. Shampoo, shampoo, guys. We don't need 60 different types of shampoo. There are so many choices in the world. Have you wrecked? To stop that, you're going to get in trouble. There are so many choices in the world right now. As a matter of fact, I think we're being deluded. We're being overwhelmed with different choices in the world of all these different things. And we it's just going this way and that. You got to go out to eat. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I feel like the two vultures. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Too many choices. As a matter of fact, there's so many choices, at some point in time, you just say, let's just stay home and eat a cheese sandwich. It's getting crazy. You know, when I go out to eat with people, when we go to new places, you go to a new place, and you never know what the place is good for. I mean, what's good to eat. So anyone, who's going out to eat with me? Anyone's going out to eat with me? All right, so there's a few people. So there's a thing that I do, okay? If I go out to eat with someone at a new restaurant, I don't even look at the menu anymore. I just sit there. I just sit there because there's too many choices and I have no idea what to eat. And so whatever the person to my right orders, that's good enough for me. I'm tired of all the choices. This morning, I'm going to make it. Actually, I'm not going to make it. It's already been made really super simple for us. All right, this is a really super simple sermon. Wow. Say that five times fast. This is a really super simple sermon. All right, Jesus made it super easy for us. You don't have to have 1,000 choices. You get two. You get two choices. And there's not any more. There's not 2.5 or 2.3 or 2.1. There's two choices. And here's the thing, you have to choose one. Only two. No more. No matter what the world says, there's only two choices. Okay? Jesus says, these are his words, and we need to listen to them, and then we need to put them into practice. You see, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. So if you look at that passage, there's four different things. But there's only two choices in each area. It's pretty simple. There's only two gates, two entryways, two gates. One is a really wide gate, really wide and really familiar. And it's easy to find. You don't have to go looking for it. As a matter of fact, if you just keep walking, you're going to enter through it. You don't even have to look for it. It is so wide. As a matter of fact, sometimes it might be hard to find because it's so wide. But it's a gate. And if you keep walking, you're going to go through it. It's a wide gate. And this gate is so wide that you don't have to worry whether you're going to be able to get through it or not get through it. You can take all of your baggage. There is no limit to the baggage going through the wide gate because it's so wide. You can take all your bags. You can take all of your luggage. You can take all of your pride. You can take all of your sin. You can take all of your self-righteousness. You can take it all with you because it's going to fit through this wide gate. And it's more, everyone's carrying the same thing, and everyone goes through this big gate, and it's super wide, and you have no problem. There's no checkpoint. There's no one looking at your passport. There's nothing. You just walk through this gate. It's the easiest thing. As a matter of fact, most of the time, you don't even know you're walking through the gate. Because there's no change necessary in order to get through this gate. You just keep doing what you're doing, and the gate is open, and the light is green, and you just keep walking and walking with everyone else, and it's no problem. It's easy. Everyone say, it's easy. It's easy. And you got all these choices and all these things that you can be doing as you're walking through this wide gate. And it seems like the best thing in all the world. It's easy. But then there's another gate. Two choices, a wide gate and a narrow gate. The narrow gate is a little bit harder to find. It's not quite as obvious. As a matter of fact, the narrow gate, you may need a guide to help you find it. You may need a little bit of help figuring out exactly where it's at, but you don't have to worry because the help is available if you'll just listen. In John chapter 16, it's said very simply, Jesus, he lets you know that there's a guide. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says this. It says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. He says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, listen to what he says, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You see, Jesus says very plainly, he says, there's a narrow gate. It's so narrow that you might need help finding it, but don't worry about that help because there is one guide who can help you find that. And it's not your preacher, and it's not your teacher. It's the Holy Spirit. You've got to be willing to listen to that Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will direct you away from the wide gate and direct you to the narrow gate. And the narrow gate is narrow for a reason. Okay? It's narrow for a reason. You see, when you go through the narrow gate, you can't take all the luggage. You can't take all the baggage because it's narrow. There's something that needs to happen in order for you to get through that narrow gate. You need to lay that baggage down. You need to lay that pride down. You need to lay those things down. But that's not something that you can do on your own. You see, the Holy Spirit, that guide, is the one who helps you even recognize the need to get narrow, to get skinnier, to get into that narrow gate. It's something that sin has to fall away. And he's able to help you do that by confessing the Lord's name. The one name, the only name. It's narrow, and it's time to unpack. It's time to get rid of some of that stuff. This is so interesting. It's time to get rid of some of that stuff that keeps you from going through that narrow gate. Some of the stuff like this in Hebrews chapter 12, which takes me back to where I was originally at. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, listen to what it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, if we go through or try to go through with all the baggage that we're carrying, if we don't allow the blood of Jesus to bring us forgiveness in our life and we get rid of some of that baggage, We're going to be going through the narrow gate, and then we're going to be finding ourselves on what? A narrow path. You see, there's only two gates, the wide gate and the narrow gate. Do you know what that narrow gate is? Jesus said very simply in himself, where was that? It's in John. I have it written down. 10:9. It's right there, right in front of me. John 10:9. One of those I ams, those Lego of my egos. Remember the Lego of my egos? The I am stations, the ego a me. You guys, y'all,
yes.
You're looking at me funny, Roger.
Yeah.
Let go of my ego? What are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah. No, not ego. It's the ego a me, the I am, the name of God. When they said, who do you say that sent me? He says, I am that I am, the I am, the ego a me. That's the Greek part of ego a me, the ego a me. He says, I am. That's my name, I am. And when Jesus says, I am, he was using that ego a me. He was saying, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am ego a me. And Jesus says very simply in John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I am the ego a me. Let go of my ego. Nobody else gets it. I am, this is my name. I am the gate. He says, there is no other gate that leads to life. He says, I am the gate. Only Jesus. He's the only way. So once we get in, if you go through the wide gate, you got two more choices. You can be on the wide gate and in the wide path. And the wide path, there's plenty of room for all the stuff that you're carrying. It's no problem to go down the wide path. There's all kinds of choices, all kinds of ways you can go, all kinds of things that can happen on this wide path. But if you go through the narrow gate, it tells you that there's a narrow path. A very narrow path that we need to follow. And God gives us the ability to walk that narrow path. But here's the thing. As we go through the narrow gate, we need to get rid of that luggage. We need to find forgiveness for our sins. But when we get on that narrow path, you know what? It's like one of those things that carrying luggage. Have you ever tried to carry luggage and walk a tightrope? Or have you ever tried to carry luggage or bring backpacking or do anything like that, and you're trying to walk a very narrow trail with a whole bunch of baggage? You're all looking at me like I'm crazy. Is it a fun thing to do? Is it an easy thing to do? No. You see, God says we go through a narrow gate, and then we're going to be walking on a narrow path. And God has designed that path absolutely perfectly. And the more that we try to carry on that path in our lives, the more difficult it becomes. And so he says, this is simple. He says, I want you to continue to shed those things that make it difficult to walk this path. He says, I want you to keep your eyes focused on Jesus and not on all the different things that surround us in this world. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus and walk the narrow path that he has designed for you. And the Holy Spirit, if you will allow him to, he will guide you into all righteousness. He will bring you onto the path that will lead you directly to God. And that is an amazing thing, and it's all through Jesus. And Jesus says, not only am I the gate, he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, I am that way. I am that path. You see, it's only Jesus. He says, I am the way. And I am the truth. And here's the thing. The world right now, I guess I didn't realize how bad it was starting to get. I mean, I did, but I didn't. I understood that it was going to get bad, but I didn't realize how quickly it was getting that way. If you look in our society right now, not just here in the United States, but right now, you are wrong if you say exactly what I'm saying right now. And I'm going to say it very plainly to the camera and to each one of you. There is only one way. There is only one truth. And there is only one life. There is only one way to get to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. Don't let anyone fool you. Parents, we've got to be so vigilant, because right now our children are being taught that is what I just said, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. There's only one way, one truth, one life. Right now the world is trying to say, because I said that, I'm horrible. I'm a bigot. I'm intolerant. No, I'm not. I'm being truthful with you. I'm telling you the truth. And we need to be sure that our children understand that that is the truth. And anyone who's trying to tell them anything different, they're the ones who are leading them onto a path that leads to destruction. And a lot of people say, oh, no, there's all kinds of different ways. You can do this, you can do that. No, there's only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one light, there's only one gate, there's only one path, and that one path, that one gate, that one way, that one truth, that one life has one name, and that is Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by any substitutes. Don't be fooled by any theories. Don't be fooled by anything else, because it is Jesus and Jesus alone. I'm getting a little worked up. I'm getting a little worked up because the world is doing an amazing job of telling these kids that that's wrong. I just like to tell these kids, look at the history of our world, because what's right and wrong in the eyes of men changes from day to day. As a matter of fact, God's word has never changed. It has stayed the same. It has stayed true. It has been tested. It has been proved over and over again. As a matter of fact, God's word says that in the eyes of men, there seems a way that is right. But in the end, it says it leads to what? Destruction and death. You see, our kids, no matter how old you are, need to hear this. Man, if we're just following what we feel is right, what we think is right, what we want, there is no hope and no future in that. You see, there is one creator who created this entire world and everything in it. And because he created this, he has the right to make the rules of how things are and should be. Not should be, they are. And he set those rules, and he says, there is one gate. There is a narrow path, and it leads to life. Everything else leads to destruction. Two choices. Life, death. Lastly, there's two crowds. Understand this. Two crowds. The many, and there's lots. And the few. It would be wise of us to look around and find out, in which crowd are you? Am I following the many and the popular and the privileged? Or am I following the few? Is the path hard? Are there difficulties? Is it beyond what I'm capable of doing? Because the narrow path is hard. And it's got pain, and it's got difficulty, and it's not easy. But Jesus says very plainly, take heart, for I've overcome the world. He says, take my burden upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I'll carry you. I'll take you through. But we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Man, it's gut check time. It's gut check time, because we can find ourselves on the wide path right now. We can find ourselves going through the gates and not even recognize them. It's so wide. Man, if we don't take some time to check our hearts, to check our minds, to check our motives, to check our baggage, to check the crowd that we're walking with. If we don't take time to do it, it's going to be too late, because the longer you're on that road, the easier it gets, and the more full the destruction will be. Today is a day to check. What are you carrying? Who are you walking with? Where are you going? On which things are your eyes focused on? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Amen? Let's stand and sing. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. Who do you choose today? You got two choices. Who do you choose today? I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I know the path can be rough. I know it can be hard. I know it can be a struggle. But I choose Jesus. I look around today and I see all the options, all the choices. I choose Jesus. No matter what comes, no matter what they say, I choose Jesus. Do you?